In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
I'm going to explain this as quickly and as simply as I can, and then we'll get someone much smarter than me to talk about it. There is a forum on the internet where people discuss stocks that they might buy, and how they might make money as individual investors by picking good ones. And one day, recently, a bunch of them decided to start buying stock in a company that, well, it's called GameStop. It mostly sells video games, physical copies of video games, in person, in malls, today, in a pandemic. GameStop's business was, as you might imagine, not going so great. But there were a couple of reasons that these folks decided to buy their stock anyway. Now, here is a fact that basically encapsulates my entire knowledge of the stock market. When people start buying a stock, its value goes up. When a lot of people start buying that stock all at once, its value goes even higher. And when news that a bunch of people from an online forum are pushing the price of a stock through the roof goes viral, then even more people buy that stock, and you can guess where it goes from here.
This story is stunning. The stock price for GameStop, which is a retail video game store, has been surging more than 600%.
In no time at all, and I am not kidding you here, the entire world of investment has their attention fixed on this little internet forum. Stock markets are starting and stopping trading of some of these stocks. Gigantic hedge funds are going broke. And again, not kidding you, in the White House briefing room, the press secretary is being asked what the president thinks is going on with GameStop.
Is the White House concerned about the stock market activity we're seeing around GameStop and now with some other stocks as well?
Secretary Yellen and others are monitoring the situation.
So to put this as clearly as I can, because you've already heard the depth of knowledge I have when it comes to the stock market, what the f*** is going on here? How did a bunch of online traders shake the very foundation of Wall Street? How will the billionaires who are losing their shirts respond? And I mean, is it too late for me to get a piece of this? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Mike Eppel is the senior business editor for 680 News and for City News. And I really hope, since he covers the stock market, he can tell me what the hell is going on. Hey, Mike.
How are you?
My head's spinning a little bit. I'm wondering if I need to get in right now and get a piece of GameStop before it's too late. I can still do it, right?
Absolutely, you can. Or you may not want to. It depends on whether or not you are a gambler, I suppose, because that is basically what we're at right now, that you are betting that you won't be the last one in and that someone else will be willing to pay a higher price than what you are paying for GameStop or any of these other companies. And you won't be the last one to sell either, because eventually it's going to cool off.
Yes, I'm too dumb. I will save it for the Super Bowl. But for people who just seen this floating around Twitter and all of their more business-minded friends going, holy crap, we're talking to you sometime close to the close of markets on Wednesday. What is actually happening in the stock market right now?
A number of things. Some say it is the great equalization of the market, where you have day traders, individual investors, finally giving the hedge funds and Wall Street giants their comeuppance, I suppose, for lack of a better description. it's a mania. It is the, you know, Tulip and Nortel and Briex and all these other market bubbles, the great dot-com boom. You know, history seems to repeat itself, where every once in a while we see events like this where not just a single company, but in this case, a group of companies see their stock prices go up exponentially in very short order. And I'd say this is probably the fastest market mania ever, just because of the speed of how things work today. And each mania has its own backstory. What, you know, causes it, who gets involved, who wins, who loses, and this is a beautiful example of that, where we see these companies that just days ago were considered to be, you know, on the brink of extinction, all of a sudden seeing a massive rally, and it's, in this case, fueled by posts on Reddit and new platforms for trading, day traders that came about during the, primarily because so many people lost their jobs last year and had found themselves with nothing to do, they began looking at the markets and dabbling in buying stocks on new platforms like Robinhood and regular, you know, bank-owned trading platforms that you can buy and sell from the beauty of your own home in your house coat, 24/7 almost.
Well, let's start then with Reddit, where this began. And let's start with GameStop specifically. And maybe just tell me how this began and what is, and this is where I have to ask you to treat me like I'm four or younger. But what is the strategy underneath this that is driving this stock's growth and hurting the hedge funds?
Well, I think you have to actually go back to last year when we saw a couple of examples of this and no one kind of understood what was happening. A company that came to the forefront was Hertz Rent-A-Car. Now, Hertz was basically saying that it was going out of business. Like they were looking at a bankruptcy restructuring. So they weren't going out of business, but they were looking at their share price go to zero. But for some reason, the stock started going up and by percentages, multiple percentages daily. And people were going, what is going on here? Why would a company that is basically going by the wayside seeing all this stock information? And then it kind of came to light that it was day traders just bidding it up and seeing what they could kind of make out of it. And it was a fairly small scale event, but you kind of look back on that and go, maybe that's where the genesis of this is or came from. There were a couple of other examples. Eastman Kodak, for example, got a contract from the Trump administration to convert to doing pharmaceuticals. I mean, this is a photography company in Rochester, which had done nothing for years, and all of a sudden it goes up 90% in a day.
Right.
So you kind of had the start of the blogosphere kind of coming into play. And then fast forward to most recently, a couple of weeks ago, where in the aftermath of the financial downturn and correlated to the economics of the pandemic, we've seen a number of companies, their future is in doubt, and many of them in the retail sector. And one of them is GameStop, which basically is a retailer for video games. So it became the attention of hedge funds. And what the hedge funds do is they basically look at a company's financials and they target it for potential losses. And then they start betting against the stock. So they buy a position in this, like at just a percentage of, they'll buy a fraction of the stock through puts and calls and options and all these other wonderful trading mechanisms. But what they do is the head of some of these hedge fund guys, some of them go on TV. Andrew Lett is one of them, who basically goes on CNBC and says, yeah, I'm shorting GameStop. It's, you know, it's going to go to zero and this is why. And that's how they make their money. They kind of, it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. They go on and say that the company sucks and here's why. And then people see that and they go, oh, I got to sell GameStop.
Right. They're betting against the future success of the company.
That's correct. Apparently, the gamers on these chat boards, and one of them is Wall Street Bets. They start talking about how do we push back. And they started buying the stock and targeting higher prices. Well, when a stock goes up, if a hedge fund is bet against it, they have to cover that position. So it's called a short squeeze. And they have to buy the stock, which just, again, presents an infinite feedback loop where the higher it goes, the more stock the hedge funds have to buy or money they have to put out to cover their position. And this just gained traction on Reddit posts. Some of it is legit. Some of it is just momentum. Some of it is mania. Some of it is a fascinating example of how the interweb and chat boards and social media have taken hold in various ways of society. You know, I certainly saw that last year in the U.S. political realm and years prior. And now it seems to be more prevalent in the world of investing. The GameStop story, though, was just the start of other companies that are questionable with their futures. One being AMC Entertainment. This is the largest theater company in the world. And earlier this week, they basically just barely avoided bankruptcy. And it had a lot of shorts on it from the hedge funds. And suddenly the Reddit board started talking about AMC. And I'm looking at it right now, and it's up 285% in a single day. And I, for the life of me, can't remember seeing gains or losses. Well, certainly gains of that magnitude ever. Another one is Express, which is a retail brand. I saw a post, you mean Express is still around? And heck, even the shell company that made up Blockbuster Entertainment is seeing huge gains. Why? It's not a business, for Pete's sakes, but it doesn't matter because, you know, they're just buying it up.
Where was GameStop when all this began, when the hedge funds would have been shorting it compared to where it is, you know, again, as we close in on the close of markets on Wednesday?
Well, right now it's well over $300. It basically did nothing through all of 2020. Back at the start of the year, it was at just over $30. So this right now it's at $345. So it's up tenfold, and over the past 1 year, the 1 year return on GameStop is 8,000%.
Hey, must be nice for some people.
Well, that's just it. You know, there's this talk about, well, this is Main Street pushing back against Wall Street after years of the big fund companies and the hedge funds and the market manipulators, you know, calling the shots. Well, this is the democratization of the financial markets because anybody can be involved in this. You can't buy into a hedge fund. They're very sophisticated. They're for institutional traders only. But anybody can pick up shares of GameStop at whatever price they want to pay. The problem, though, is, you know, and it's like, well, this is wealth redistribution. They're, you know, saying this is wealth redistribution that should have happened. And look what the financial industry did back in 2008 when the industry collapsed. The banking sector was on its last legs and had to be propped up by Main Street and taxpayers. Well, we're getting our share. There is some truth to that. I don't know how widespread it would be, though. You know, there are millions of people on these chat rooms, yes, but are they all in the market? And at some point, they're probably going to want to sell. And who is going to be, you know, when the music stops, so to speak? You know, you don't want to be the last one holding the shares when no one else is willing to buy at the price that you want to sell them at.
What about the hedge funds in question here? Yeah, they got caught short, I guess. I'm learning the parlance as we go. How much does that really impact them? Like, we're talking about massive hedge funds that deal in billions and billions of dollars, right? Like, can this kind of concerted effort really put them under?
It's probably not enough to do that great a damage, but we are talking hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. These are massive organizations, so they probably have, and I'm saying probably because I don't know if we know the answer to that yet, how big of a loss Citron Research and some of these others have experienced. And I'm actually seeing this play out in other ways, because as these bets and positions need to be covered, in some cases, that's leading to these institutional investors being forced to sell other holdings. So, as a result of that, today we've got the Dow Jones down over 500 points. And that would indicate on a day when really there's nothing else that would trigger a move of that magnitude, that would indicate that companies that have had big gains over the past little while, Apple or Disney, some of these are way down today. And I'm thinking that this has to do with the fact that they're being forced to sell winning positions to cover the losses. So it does have a ripple effect on a much wider scale. And Toronto's market is not immune to it. The TSX is down well over 1% today, which isn't massive, but it's not insignificant either.
Why do so many prominent figures in the financial industry and even in politics now? We played a clip in the intro. The new press secretary was getting asked about the administration's position on this at a press briefing today. You know, and if this is just, you know, investors playing against each other in the markets, why do people seem so worried about what's going on here? Or I should rephrase that. Why do people who currently control the investment markets seem so worried about what's going on?
Maybe because it's a loss of control that they aren't the masters of the universe that they profess themselves to be sometimes. That sometimes you'll have these scenarios where something that you don't expect to happen does happen. Now, the problem, I suppose, is does it question the legitimacy sometimes of the financial markets themselves, if in fact you're not buying or selling a company based on its earnings or future growth prospects, as we have all been taught to do as, you know, investors in the market. Does it just make it look like it's a casino where you're just rolling the dice? So there's some question about that. There's also the risk involved where you didn't have perhaps enough regulation and you've got a new administration in, a new Federal Reserve Chair, Janet Yellen. And, you know, they're going to be looking at this from, okay, why were the hedge funds allowed to borrow against a company where they shorted more stock in GameStop than was actually available in the market?
Wait, you can do that?
You can do that. That's kind of everybody's going, exactly. You can do that? Who thought that would be a good idea? But this is the scenario that's actually built up just over the past year and a bit, where you're encouraged to lever up. Interest rates are record lows. Companies are being shoveled money by central banks and governments. It's
right.
Basically to keep greasing the wheels. And we saw this in 2008-09, where they basically said, here you go, Wall Street. Here's, you know, $1 trillion from the federal government in the U.S. just to keep, you know, confidence in the system. So the hedge funds weren't breaking any rules. They were looking at this as a surefire, easy win. And it turned out to be the exact opposite, again, because of the power of social media. And it'll be interesting to see when, again, today what's happening is that the positions have to be covered and you still got this mania right now. At some point, there aren't going to be any short positions on GameStop. And then it's going to be, what's this company actually worth? Will it exist in 1 or 2 years from now? Or has this just been all based on, again, get rich quick? Possibly. And once the chat rooms turn and, you know, it's been fueled as well by, you know, people like Elon Musk. He tweeted about it last night saying, you know, some off the cuff comment called Game Stonk, which is apparently some sort of meme reference. Chamath Palihapitiya, who is a big name on Wall Street from a social investing standpoint, he's championing this. He's saying, this is great. This is the little guy coming out and saying, we have power and you are not necessarily all in control, Wall Street. So, you know, from my perspective, this is awesome. I mean, I don't have a dog in the fight. So I'm just kind of sitting back and watching this with interest and seeing where it ends, because again, anytime I've seen this in the past, it hasn't ended well, but at the same time, some people before the eventual correction did get rich in the process.
I'm going to ask you to wrap up with the correction that may or may not be coming in a minute. But first, just because you touched on it, this is the one thing that I find so fascinating. I shouldn't say the one thing. One of the things that I find so fascinating about this is, what does all of this mean to the actual companies involved? Like, does this have any material impact on how GameStop goes about their day-to-day operations? They didn't just get a ton of money or anything, and neither did AMC, right? Like,
no.
What actually happens? Yeah, what happens outside of the market that actually impacts these companies? Anything?
Theoretically, they could use this as a way to perhaps borrow more money against the equity or something of that nature and saying, hey, we've got the confidence of the street and we should maybe use this as a stepping off point to expand or change our business model. We have not heard any comment from any of the leadership at GameStop or AMC or Bed Bath & Beyond is another one that has seen its share price rise exponentially. BlackBerry did put out a statement saying there is no material reason for our shares to be up more than 100% this year so far. BlackBerry's got an actual business. I mean, they're big into software. They actually make money.
It's amazing they had to come out and say that.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, that's sort of what the regulators require of you to say, to maybe explain what's going on, that there's not some sort of something untoward going on behind the scenes. But no, we haven't heard anything. And at some point, you know, that'll be the next thing. Again, it depends how long this actually lasts. And that's an unknown. I don't know the answer to that. This thing could cool off just as quickly as it started. If in fact, the sentiment turns and people say, okay, I'm out. And here's why.
At some point, It cools off or it goes away. How does it end, though? So I guess one scenario you've outlined is people decide to start cashing in their winnings and getting off the ship. We've also heard some people talk about, you know, more regulation on how quickly these shares can be traded and who can trade them and et cetera, et cetera. How do you see this ending, or at least what are the possible outcomes?
Well, I know that the TD Bank, for example, on their platform have said that, okay, it has to be done. Any trades on some of these companies has to be done 100% cash on the barrel, basically. They're not allowing any leverage. So they're trying to cool it off that way. I'm going to hazard a guess to say that there will be a regulatory oversight and SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, investigation to say what happened. You know, anytime you see something of this magnitude, though, the regulators are going to have something to say and be questioned about it. From a standpoint of a shareholder, it's going to be interesting if, when they want to sell, they can sell. We saw this morning when the markets opened. There was such an overflow of buy orders that many of the platforms crashed. So if that were to happen on the flip side and you're desperately trying to get out, it's like, the movie Trading Places, where they were trying to sell the orange juice contracts and they couldn't do it, right? Because the whole thing was going haywire.
I am not going to end by asking you what I should do with my money or what you should do with yours. But I am curious, if you look at this and you see like an actual solid opportunity here for somebody to maybe try their hand at, or is this kind of a once in a lifetime, like, is this a new strategy, or is this a once in a lifetime, right circumstances, right moment, and here we are?
You raise a very good question, whether or not this is the start of something where other companies will have the exact same outcome or trading activity. We just don't know which ones they are yet. And will they, again, be influenced by Reddit and other platforms? It's, yeah, anytime there's something new, you kind of try to extrapolate, okay, is this the start of something that we have never seen before? And I would hazard a guess that, to some extent, yes, there will be other examples of this, maybe not to as great an extent, because I think now all of a sudden you've got people are saying, man, I can't, I'm going to get burned if I go in too big or be too expressive about what I'm investing in behind the scenes. And I'm talking about the institutional players. So me personally, I am probably the most boring person on the face of the planet when it comes to investing. I like money-making companies that pay a dividend. I'm old-fashioned that way. Now, having said that, is it exciting? Is it, if you have some money that you think, throw $1,000 in, you know, and you're willing to basically gamble it, let's face it, then have at it. I mean, this is, you know, you can make money pretty quick, but again, it can turn south very quickly or just as quickly. I think you're going to see that because, again, people are on these platforms and trading accounts where it's so easy to buy and sell, you know, put in a position for even 25 shares and let's see what happens. I think that's part of the reason why we've also seen, you know, the momentum of these companies go up as much and same thing heading in the other direction.
I'm still too chicken, but thank you, Mike, for helping me at least understand what's going on.
You're welcome.
Mike Eppel, the business reporter at City News and 680 News. That was The Big Story. For more from us, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. Find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. Talk to us anytime via email. Hit us up with those stock tips. The Big Story Podcast, that's all one word, all lowercase, at rci.rogers.com. And of course, wherever you get your podcasts, you will find us. You will find all the frequency shows. You can also find us at the Hot Docs Podcast Festival, where I will be answering 20 questions. Sheda Omidvar from The Hopeful will do the same. And we will offer sneak peeks of the first episodes of a couple of our new shows. So go check it out. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.